Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This week, we learn about the Trojan horse of global transformation from Patrick Wood. Jonathan Brentner will help us have a deeper understanding of heaven and the joys that await. And Bill Federer will share insight into the rise of Islam around the world. As we begin our time together today, I want to encourage you to visit the Resource Center on our website, swrc.com. There, you'll find over 1,000 books and DVDs by the nation's top teachers, Bible prophecy, biblical mysteries, and the latest archaeology and apologetics are all found at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. The latest resources from Billy Crone, Micah Van Hus, Josh Davis, and Lonnie Shipman are all found at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. The dark horse of the New World Order is not communism, socialism, or fascism. It's technocracy. With the details, here is our host, Dr. Larry Spargimino, and today's guest, author Patrick Wood.
Here at Southwest Radio Church, we always try to be relevant. This is your Watchman on the Wall broadcast, and we always want to let you know what we see on the horizon, sometimes very close. We would have to be blind to not see that our country is being invaded, especially along the southern border. But our leaders are telling us, quote, the border is under control, and if they admit a problem, they will blame it on the Republicans. Friends, what's going on? Wouldn't you like some insightful analysis of the current situation from someone who has been studying globalism for many, many years and has written extensively on the subject? Well, for this program and the next, we're going to be visiting with Patrick M. Wood. We are going to offer our listeners two of his excellent books. They are wonderful resources, very in-depth, and sometimes you'll want to scream out and say, praise the Lord, I want that book. And we'll tell you how to get those books in a few minutes. Patrick, thank you so much for being our guest.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Well, Patrick, you are a well-researched investigator and scholar, and I say that advisedly. I've read your stuff and looked at some of your connections, especially with Anthony Sutton many years ago. That's impressive. And, of course, you all are opposed to globalism. What's the problem with globalism? Is that why many Americans are saying, hey, we're losing our country? Is that something about losing our sovereignty or freedom or cash or, you know, the things that we love to do without having Big Brother down our necks all the time?
Exactly. You know, the modern globalization push started in 1973, in my opinion, and Sutton's opinion as well, with the formation of an organization known as the Trilateral Commission. These people were headed by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski back in that day, and they brought together people from around the world to create what they said at that time was their new international economic order. We didn't quite understand what that meant back then. I do now because I discovered technocracy along the way. But these people were intent on doing something new back then. They didn't tell anybody very, very well what they're trying to do. Obviously, they want to keep it secret. But this is where this all started. Brzezinski, in particular, he set the stage with his former book, his first major book, in any case, called Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. That's where we find ourselves today. The Technotronic Era, it's upon us right now.
Right, right. Well, you know, since we're getting into this, maybe you could explain some key words and phrases and thoughts, like, for example, technocracy, the new international economic order, and Agenda 21.
Well, exactly. Technocracy was defined in the 1930s this way. This is a direct quote from their magazine. It said, technocracy is the science of social engineering the scientific operation of the entire social mechanism to produce and distribute goods and services to the entire population. For the first time in human history, it will be done as a scientific, technical, engineering problem. That sets the stage where we are today. This is exactly what's happening to us today. They're prosecuting this war of, they call it the science of social engineering. Of course, that's not a science at all, but they said it was, and they believe that they can manipulate people to do what they wanted to do, you know, like herd management.
Right. Sort of.
You fast forward now, when we look at technocracy today, most people just see it as, well, it means technical experts, you know, who were just appointed to do something. And that's true. You could look at the dictionary and see that definition, but it goes far back in history, at least to the 1930s, and actually running up to that point, there was a lot of talk about technocracy as well. So it started in Columbia University in particular, with scientists and engineers declaring that they could do better than capitalism and free market economics. Remember that the Great Depression was a big deal back then. They said, well, we're smart people, we can do better. And so they crafted this brand new economic system from scratch. It was going to be a resource-based e-commerce system controlled by energy, input and output. It was really crackpot, in my opinion, back then, and American people, by and large, rejected it by the end of the 1940s, especially. But it came back. It repeated on us once Brzezinski got a hold of it in the 1960s. Then it was Katie bar the door. Once David Rockefeller saw the possibility of using this as the new economic system, it provided a way for him to capture all the resources of the world that he could. And irrespective of money, getting the resources under control was, that's what they were looking for.
And Agenda 21 and the International Economic Order would all fit under this great big umbrella and explain a lot of what's going on today.
It really does. And this business with Agenda 21 in particular, this was engineered completely, in my opinion, completely engineered by members of the Trilateral Commission for the sake of their new economic order that they wanted to put us on the world. This is defensible. You have Maurice Strom, the leader of that Rio de Janeiro conference. He was a former member of the Trilateral Commission, as was the lady who became the mother of sustainable development, Gro Harlem Brundtland. She was a European member of the Trilateral Commission. And there was others along the way as well. If you see this whole thing, starting with Agenda 21, if you see this in that light, this is a policy that was created in the early 1970s that was finally realized in the early 1990s, and we still have it with us today. It's got stronger ever since. You got 2030 agenda now, you've got the new urban agenda, you got the Paris Climate Accord, all the global warming stuff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of this was the genesis of all of this was in the 1970s.
I think most of us would agree, although not all Americans probably, because they've gotten so much wrong information, but I think most of us would agree that illegal immigration is a massive problem. Now, I want to make it very clear, and I'm sure you understand, my parents were immigrants. My wife, she's deceased now, she was an immigrant. I pastor a church in Oklahoma City. We're made up of many immigrants. Actually, it's a Chinese, mostly Chinese church. So I don't hate immigrants, whether they're Mexican, Guatemalan, Chinese, African, whatever. But how does the fact that this open border is such an egregious evil, and I think so many people see it, people are being murdered. There are DUI accidents that are still occurring. done by illegal immigrants who have been deported five times, but they're back in the country. They're killing Americans. And it just seems like nobody can do anything about it. I mean, it's just happening. It's kind of like, it seems very obvious to me, close the border. It's kind of like if I have a problem with rattlesnakes in my house and I discover a big hole in the basement, I'm just going to block the hole in the basement, take care of the snakes in my house, and then the problem will be solved. See, very basic. How is this refusal, I think it's a refusal, to do anything really meaningful about the border, and then to criticize those who want to close the border, and they say, well, it's already being done, the border is secure. How does this illegal immigration, how does this help these people who are behind these crazy ideas to destroy America?
Oh boy, that's a big question. You know, we have to look at Europe first, because Europe had this problem before we did, in a big way. And the immigration that came from the south, mostly from Muslim countries, flooded into Europe. And it was not accidental, by the way. It was carefully orchestrated by the United Nations, and I have to bring this back, by a member of the Trilateral Commission who was in charge in immigration quotas in Europe, a man by the name of Peter Sutherland. People can go find it how this guy played into this, but he was the guy that opened up the quotas, or forced countries to open up their quotas to receive all of these people from the Mideast to completely destroy Europe. And this was a policy that was hatched in the bowels of the United Nations and the Trilateral Commission, and he executed this policy in Europe. It was amazing to see this one person literally open up Europe like a can of worms to bring all these people in. And he did this before the flood started, so the quotas would be honored when people started flowing in.
Right.
And this is the same policy they did with us. There's no other nation in the world that has an immigration problem, just Europe, the first one, and then us. Nobody else escaping to China, and nobody's going to Russia. Right. They're not even going to the Ukraine, right?
Yeah.
So we're the only other geographic region in the world that they want to get rid of. They wanted to first break up the European Union. In fact, one of the famous quotes that I like to lay on Southern is, he said that the only way to achieve a multicultural society was through this type of immigration and just flooding this this completely crazy thing into Europe. And they're doing exactly the same thing here for the same reason.
Well, friends, we're visiting with author Patrick M. Wood. We are offering our listeners two very, very valuable volumes. The first is Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order. This is a 210-page book with 12 chapters and two appendices. The other book that we're offering is Technocracy Rising, The Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. The author argues that the dark horse of the New World Order is not communism, socialism, or fascism. It is technocracy, and we've just had a good definition of that. Give our operators a call, 1-800-652-1144. These are really great books by Patrick Wood, and these books will open your eyes and provide a strategy for victory. In fact, Chapter 11 in Technocracy Rising is titled Take Action. Chapter 11 of Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order, is Resistance is Never Futile. Yes, there is always hope, and we want to remember that. Our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. Patrick, I'm sure that our big enemies that we see anyhow, like Russia and China, are pretty happy to see America having all these problems. But don't they realize that nation states like Russia and China are not exempted from being absorbed into a one world order? Are they so naive that they're going to survive a globalist takeover? I mean, I know they're They're happy to see us go down, and we have the kind of government that wants us to go down. But what about Russia and China? Aren't they aware of what's going on, that the real enemy is globalism, not America, not Christianity, not freedom, but globalism is the monster that wants to destroy them?
Well, that's exactly right. But on the other hand, we have to remember who built up Russia and China in the first place. This is what Anthony Sutton, Professor Anthony Sutton, wrote about so extensively in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. How did this happen? Well, he determined that the financing that came to and was delivered to Soviet Russia in the first place was all orchestrated by the New York banking establishment. They did the same thing in China. And this is all part of history now. Sutton documented this, you know, six ways to Sunday. And today, you look, well, who's really in charge of these companies, or countries, rather? Could it possibly be that they're outside of the orbit of the financial elite in the world? Not hardly. In China, for instance, right now, all of the technology that resulted in China being where it is today, it all came from the United States originally. Totally. Right. And in particular, from members of the Trilateral Commission that, you know, wanted to profit from that. So we see financing, we see industry moving over there. It's unmistakable now that you look at it, you say, well, where's the dog and where's the tail in this thing?
Right.
It is not as it appears.
I'm not trying to promote the candidacy of Donald Trump for president, but it seems to me that all of the focused, vicious, nasty attacks against this man, the heavy fines, the extensive investigations, the ridiculous, I think it was a ridiculous charge of insurrection on January the 6th, the fact that the Russian collusion investigation produced nothing of merit, what's going on here? I mean, why the intensely focused vitriol against Donald Trump by a particular sector of our society and our government?
I know, that puzzles me as well. I'm skeptical after 45 years of watching politics. I'm skeptical of every political stuff, tricks, you know, come along. I see that there's a lot of theater, a lot of drama going on here that, you know, you have to look through it a little bit to find out what's really going on. I wonder, in the end of this, what is going to surface? Because here we have two old salts, you know, so to speak, going to duke it out again with Biden and Trump. And, you know, this has got, there's so many red flags on this at this point that you have to just stand back and ask yourself, what is going on? Is it really about Trump? Or is it about the populist movement in the world? Or is it something else? You know, it's like we always see this when the pack of dogs, you know, appears, somebody throws a meat bone, just one, in the midst of them, and then they all have a big dog fight, right? We're in this big dog fight right now. It's like, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. Why? Who's throwing the dog bone in there in the first place? Maybe we can find out who the perpetrators are
right.
of this whole thing.
That would be so wonderful. Well, we are running out of time. It's just a delight to speak to you. Thank you, Patrick, for the information, and we're looking forward to having you back on our next broadcast. Friends, please be sure to tune in to our next broadcast of your Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Church.
More details on the dark horse of the New World Order, Technocracy, is coming up on our next program. Patrick Wood's book, Technocracy Rising, is today's featured resource. With meticulous detail and abundant original research, Patrick Wood uses Technocracy Rising to connect the dots of modern globalization in a way that has never been seen before, so that the reader can clearly understand the globalization plan, its perpetrators, and its intended endgame. Order your copy of Technocracy Rising today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. 1144, or you can order on our website, swrc.com. With over 250 footnotes, an extensive bibliography, and clarity of writing style, Technocracy Rising challenges the reader to new levels of insight and understanding into the clear and present danger of technocracy and how Americans might be able to reject it once again. Technocracy Rising by Patrick Wood, 1-800-652-1144. What is the image of the beast in Revelation? How does Nimrod fit into the end-time scenario? What is the forbidden knowledge of the Watchers? Micah Van Hus answers these questions in today's Marginal Mysteries segment. Welcome to the program today. I am Micah Van Hus. I am your host for the program today, and I am the producer of Marginal Mysteries at Southwest Radio Ministries. And today we are going to be talking about my latest book, Secret Societies, and specifically, what is the image of the beast in Revelation? The real answer is, I don't know, people don't really know, but people have a lot of speculation about what the image is, so I'm really going to give you a theory from my book, Secret Societies, on what I think the image of the beast will be, and what could be in the book of Revelation. A fascinating idea, but before we get into it, be sure to check us out at marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com. On there, you can access all of my books, t-shirts, and also links to our social medias where I do YouTube videos every month and put it on Facebook, Instagram, Rumble, a bunch of different platforms, and pretty much all the major ones. So check us out at marginalmysteries.com. Secret Societies book covers a lot of information and a lot of secret societies, but today we are going to spend a little time focusing on what is the image of the beast in Revelation. This goes back to Nimrod. It's where kind of the Secret Societies book originates and where the mystery religion of Babylon in history originates, and that's from Nimrod, the first major rebel against God after the flood of Noah. So Nimrod uses the knowledge of the Watchers that the Greek god Hermes found and shared with him to build mighty Babylon and ushered in the mystery religion. But Nimrod, he was the first man god after the flood. Everybody in Babylon worshipped Nimrod. After the Tower of Babel incident, God comes down and he confounds the languages. He divides the world into 70 nations, each of them speaking a different language. So, if Nimrod's the man god and instantaneously 70 different languages appear on the earth, what do you find? Well, you find people worshiping Nimrod, but by different names. So these gods of old are likely one and the same person, and that is Nimrod. So we get Osiris in Egyptian mythology, we get Molech, we get Baal, we get Cupid in the Roman mythology, all kinds of different names for Nimrod, but we're going to focus on Osiris from Egyptian mythology. In Egyptian mythology, Osiris was the first mummy. He was the first to be mummified. He is resurrected by his wife, Isis, and she actually, in history, is the wife of Nimrod, Semiramis, and they together have a son named Horus. Nimrod dies from his uncle during this process, Seth. Nimrod reincarnates into his own son. This gives the first perverted trinity after the flood. Well, what is the image of the beast in Revelation? Let's get to that point. To clarify, a revelation is hard to understand, and there are all kinds of different explanations and theories about all kinds of things in Revelation. Specifically here, the three beasts. Not everybody agrees that there's three beasts. Some say there's two, some say there's four. But in general, I believe that there will be three beasts in Revelation. The first beast is the beast that comes out of the sea with seven heads. That is symbolic for seven nations, but at the same time, it is also the Antichrist possessed by Satan. So beast number one is the Antichrist possessed by Satan. Beast number two is the beast from the earth. That is the false prophet who will cause mankind, point mankind to worship the Antichrist. I think that the Pope is a good candidate for being the false prophet. Is the resurrected mummy of Osiris brought back to life in front of everybody? Why do I believe this? Because there's all kinds of historical writings and Freemason writings talking about Osiris coming back from the dead.
Let's see. The Mason's Encyclopedia says the promise of life is Osiris. The great doctrine, the great revelation of all the true mysteries is that Osiris lives, but he is known by other names. We also, as Masons, look forward to union with Osiris to be united with him forever. The Egyptian Book of the Dead, in it, Osiris makes a statement, I am yesterday, I am today, and I have the power to be born a second time. This is an ancient book, over 3,000 years old. Now, Revelation chapter 17, verse 8 tells us of a beast that used to exist, does not currently, and will exist again. It reads, the beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. So here in Revelation, kind of matches what the Egyptian Book of the Dead says, that Osiris is yesterday, is today, and has a power to be born a second time. So if Nimrod truly is going to rise again in the Revelation scenario, when he died, his spirit is in the abyss. In fact, there's Freemason writings talking about the spirit of Nimrod in the abyss, and the body of Osiris being preserved in the Giza necropolis, maybe even under the Great Pyramid itself. So there are a number of writings that point to this. If, in fact, the image to the beast is resurrected mummy, to me that fits right in line with a statue being animated or a clone coming to life. The idea that a dead body can be resurrected should not be foreign to us as Christians. There are many points in Scripture where people come back from the dead. In fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Was it strange when the dead rose after Jesus' resurrection in Matthew chapter 27, which reads, verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. So does Osiris come back to life during the Revelation scenario as the image of the beast? It's a fascinating theory which we discuss in my new book, Secret Societies. You can purchase that book and all my other books, The Earth as It Was, Ancient Cities and the Gods Who Built Them, at marginalmysteries.com. That's marginalmysteries.com.
Technocracy Rising by Patrick Wood connects the dots of modern globalization in a way that has never been seen before, so that the reader can clearly understand the globalization plan, its perpetrators, and its intended endgame. Order your copy of Technocracy Rising today when you call 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, we'll learn more about the Trojan horse of global transformation, technocracy. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station or by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.